Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. They make one move in free agency yesterday. Nick Perbix, a right-handed shot defenseman coming in from the Tampa Bay Lightning. He signs a two-year deal, a $2.75 million cap hit in each of the next 2 years. That was the move made by the Predators yesterday. I don't anticipate that there are many more moves coming. Like Barry Trotz talked about it, said they're not in on any of like the other big names that are still out there. You might see them add a guy or two free agency-wise over the next few days here that maybe is a fringe-type player, but we'll see. I mean, the real question in terms of from this point out with the roster is going to be, is there some sort of trade that gets made at some point? And we'll see whether or not that's the case by the time the offseason comes around or by the regular season comes around. But Nick Perbix added to the blue line yesterday. Joe, I like the move. I think there's very little risk to it. If he's not that good here in a couple of years, you can move on from him. It's not a huge cap hit. I think he comes in, he fills a nice need for you. It's not like they're getting some superstar defenseman that comes in, but I think he can play. He could play alongside Roman Josi if you really need him to. Doesn't have to. He can play lower in the lineup and fill spots there. So I think a kind of a versatile guy on the right side that – I like the signing. I like the years. I like the cap number. So good job by Barry Trotz on that front.
Yeah, needed a shot in the arm, huh? Needed a little shot in the arm there. No, it's good. You gotta, you know, we've talked about the absence of right shot defensemen, and you know, it's good to see someone in their 20s sign with the Preds. I think that's a good thing.
It is.
I still don't totally know how it's all going to shake out there. The question you brought up, you know, the playing with Roman Josi is a really interesting thing.
It is.
You know, there's some things to figure out, but it's a good signing.
I'm interested to see who plays with Josi because, I mean, Trotz did bring up Nick Hague yesterday about, you know, potentially that could be an option. You know, one of the things he's talked about is Josi can play on the right. Nick Hague can play on the right. Nick Hague has played on the right in Vegas at times. Tanner Molendijk has played on the right at the lower levels. Now, what does that mean in the NHL? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But Tanner Molendijk can play on the right side. He's done it for 4 years in Saskatoon. So he was talking about that the other day. So they do have some options with their left shot defensemen that they can kind of move those guys around a little bit if you want to. I think Josi in particular is equipped to play on the right. Like there's a lot that I think it does for him. You know, it sets up the one-timer a little bit more often. He's a guy that's so good with the puck that you're not as worried about his ability to handle it on the backhand because he's just really gifted that way. So, like, I'm not worried about Josi playing on the right side. I think if that's the way they need to go, then they'll do that. I mean, really, the worries with Josi are about his health. Like, how healthy is he going to be? And if he is healthy, to what level is he playing? Because I thought last year, like everybody else, they were okay at best. Like, I think Josi was okay at best last year. So, is that
for
what
him.
He is now? For him,
yeah.
Right? So, is that what he is now? Or does he have another year of, you know, borderline Norris Trophy level play in him? Because if he's got that, well, that totally changes what the defense is right now.
Yeah. And the defense, a huge, huge talking point.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday, of course. So, look, it does have to be better. It did hurt Saros. It can help other parts of the team if you can defend effectively. So, we'll see if this iteration is going to work. I definitely agree that it's important. I know it's not exciting for Preds fans to think about, well, no centerman, so play better D.
Yeah, and that was...
That's not exactly. I paraphrase a little bit.
Well,
there,
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it was kind of indirectly discussed, right? Like, you know, Barry Trotz and was asked about his center depth, and you know, Alex Doherty, who we had on earlier in the show, I mean, laid out the centerman that they've got, which right now that's what it is. It's O'Reilly, it's Svechkov, it's Holla, and it's Michael McCarron. That's what they've got down the middle right now. And Barry Trotz made it clear on with Stillman last week that he doesn't really want Steven Stamkos to play center. He wants him on the wing. So when that's the case, those are the four options you've got at center right now. And here is what Barry Trotz had to say on his center depth and how they're handling that this offseason.
So your center depth, Ryan O'Reilly, Petr Svechkov, Eric Holla, Michael McCarron, those are just the four that come to mind.
It's four that we have.
You said you want to win this year. Do you think that center depth, that lineup is good enough to win this year?
Well, I think, you know, there's different ways to do it. I know that, as I said, I've got different experiences. You're just going to have to adjust and have the commitment from the whole group. If you look at it on paper, it's not a deep, deep center group. There's no question. So how do you do that? You got to play. You can win with really good defense. I did that for years. You do that with a team commitment to defense, and you've got to be really, really, really dangerous off the wings. I think we can do that with what we have. Now, at the center ice position, you're going to have to be reliable, and you're going to have to be strong defensively and committed to be on the right side of the pucks. Having your defense, having a little more, I'll say, a little more length and size will help that. So it's going to be, you have to be the mentality. It has to be just the buy-in.
So he talks about the buy-in and the mentality and how right now the way their roster is constructed, you know, they've made big changes to the defense. They've gotten a lot bigger there. And he says that you need to be really dangerous off the wing. And you look at what they've got at wing with Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg, and Bunting, Evangelista, whoever you want to kind of toss in that mold there. Is it realistic to think that those guys can be dangerous enough off the wing with the centermen that they're playing with? That would be the natural follow-up question. So,
be more dangerous, Steven.
Yeah. Hey, you know, he had a bad year last year, and I think he ended up with still 27 goals. So if he's more comfortable, who knows? I'll tell you what they really need that could really help them out. They need an answer to be found on the power play where they're just freaking lethal on that thing. Like that would go a long way offensively if you could find a way for that top power play unit, who was okay last year. I wouldn't say that they were great. They were okay last year on the power play. If you could find a way for them to get into great territory on the power play, you'd offset some of that with a prolific power play.
Yeah. I mean, you got to make up in other areas for what you lack down the middle. And you also, of course, have to have things like, oh, wow, Svechkov is better than we realized.
Yeah.
Look at the step he took this summer. I mean, a lot of stuff like that has to go your way. I still feel like some kind of a trade is worth it, or any kind of trade, every possible trade is worth exploring at this point. But you know, at this point, this is what it looks like it's going to be. And so I guess that's the project for Andrew Brunette. Yeah. This is enough of a project. Make a winner out of this flawed roster and just flawed construction of a team.
Logan says, I think people are losing their minds over these defensive additions. I'm totally down with the approach so far. How many 2+ goal leads did the Predators blow last year? I can't think of several. I think he means can. Hopefully Stamkos and Marchessault and Philip Forsberg will have better years and the goals will come. The defense has to get better. I don't think anybody would argue with that. The defense has to get better than they were a year ago. And they're certainly different than they were a year ago. They've gotten bigger. There's a different style to it. And I think the defense will be better than it was last year, certainly at the end of last year when it was Brady Shea and a bunch of AHL guys. Okay? So there's no doubt they're better than that. How good are they? That's going to be the question. Like, is Nick Hague actually a top four defenseman? Is Roman Josi playing like a top pair defenseman this year? Is he healthy? Is Justin Barron taking a big step forward, which I think they're counting on? I think they believe that he can take a big step forward from where he was last year. Well, if all those things happen, then they're probably going to have pretty good defense. If they don't, well, then they're going to be okay on defense, and okay on defense and not very dangerous down the middle is not a very good combo in the NHL.
Unless you have the best goaltender in the league.
Yeah.
So there you go. So just have that, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, Barry Trotz, like you said, he mentioned his experience as a coach, and obviously he's known as a great defensive coach. I mean, look, he's a Hall of Fame coach. It does feel like you think about the real grinding seasons and teams. I mean, it's not like they won. They just maybe won more than you would have thought.
That's right? It.
I mean, like they hung in closer than the talent level suggested they should have.
I agree. Like Doherty said earlier, like the first 5 years, the results weren't good, which they weren't. Like, it's not like the Predators as an expansion team were making the playoffs.
It's a different time for expansion
teams. I do
teams.
Think that in many of those years to begin with, they were better than they probably should have been given the roster that they had. So, I mean, you can think of that what you will. How much does that matter at the end of the day? I don't know. But that I think that was Trotz's point yesterday. Yeah.
And look, it's not – I understand if you're a Preds fan, you're spending money to go see him play. It's probably not exciting to hear. Just play better D and we'll grind our way to more wins. But if they win, it'll be – you know, then you'll feel better about it if they actually win more.
And, you know, I've heard people say that they don't want Svechkov playing second-line center, which I understand. But given the options they have right now, I mean, he's absolutely who I would put at second line center. Like, you know who I don't want to see playing second line center? Eric Halla. Right. I don't want to see Eric Halla playing second line center. I mean, Michael McCarron's not even going to be a thought to play second line center. So, like, I would rather see Svechkov there to start and take a chance with it and see if they can find something there rather than just doing the easy thing and plugging Eric Halla in with Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, we know and have known for a long time what Eric Halla is. And like you said, he wasn't good last year. At least with Svechkov, like there's still hopefully room to grow.
Hopefully a lot of room. Hopefully a lot of room to grow. I mean, look, you know, Stamkos is generally pretty honest with his assessment of things. And one thing he kept talking about with Svechkov last year, he was like, he just has an element that we just don't have a whole lot of, and that is straight line speed. Like, he's got straight line speed that can open some things up coming up the middle. So maybe harnessing that this year and him learning some, you know, he's got to get way better with his faceoffs. We know that. And that is where Stamkos can step in and help. Like, if he's playing with Stamkos, Svechkov doesn't have to take every faceoff. Stamkos can step in and take some faceoffs. And, you know, he's still 20, 21 years old. Like, he's growing still, and physically, I think that's the part you feel good about Svechkov. Like, physically, he's pretty stout. So he's not going to get pushed around out there. So maybe he's ready in year two in the NHL to take a significant jump. I would rather see them try that than just sticking Eric Halla out there at center to play with Stamkos.
Like, if it gets to that,
well, you're up a creek.
Yeah.
And look, Eric Halla, I've said it with the moment when they signed him. He's a fine player. He has been a fine player throughout his career. He's 34. The numbers suggest he took a pretty significant step back last year. So was that a one-year thing? Could he rebound this year? We'll see. Or is he just headed downward? Like, it feels like some more of this roster might be.
Yeah.
615-737.
He's younger than some people, though.
He is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. Plus, how realistic is it that Brady Martin could play for this team this year as an 18-year-old? We'll get into all that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on all things Nashville Predators. One texter says, we keep talking defense. Did we forget we couldn't get pucks in the net either? They need these older guys to have career years like they were supposed to have last year. Didn't work out last year. Hey, look, let's be honest here. Steven Stamkos is not going to have a career year here with the Predators. You know, his career year involves scoring 60 goals. That ain't happening.
Pretty high level.
It's not happening here with the Predators. Jonathan Marchessault is probably not having a career year here either. Like, Marchessault, we said it at the time when they signed him last year. If you were forcing me to identify somebody who was not going to replicate 40 goals again, he would have been the guy because he's only done it once. He has basically been a 25-goal guy, 25 to 28-goal guy for most of his career. And then in 23-24, he had 42 goals and 69 points. Now, last year, like the point total that Marchessault had last year is pretty close to what he's been for the majority of his career, right? He was 56 points last year. He's had a 51-point year. He's had a 59-point year. He's had a 57-point year. Like, he's kind of been right in that territory. Now, it is worth pointing out that the, you know, his career year from a point total standpoint was 75 his first year with Vegas, where they just went immediately to the Cup final. So there is that. But, I mean, it wasn't from a strictly point total year last year all that misrepresentative of what he's been. I'm not a huge plus-minus guy in terms of stats. Like, there are some deep flaws with the plus-minus stat. But I will say, like, when you're as much on the plus one way or as much on the minus one way, but like, I pay attention to that. And Marchessault is a minus 29 last year. And I think Steven Stamkos was worse than that. I'll pull up his number. His Steven Stamkos last year was a minus 36. So, I mean, again, there are flaws with that stat, but when it's that far one way or the other, it does, I think, tell you a little bit of something.
Yeah. That's kind of the depressing thing, you know, what you laid out there with Marchessault, is it's like you think about how bad it was overall and you think about his complaining or, you know, being frank, being honest, whatever, you like it or don't, whatever, but that's what you think about. But, like, it's not like it was some insanely bad season for him, like, in terms of production.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he may have been – I mean, he was kind of the tack on, I guess, right, last year. But it was like, wow. And Marchessault, Stamkos was the huge
– Right. Well, Stamkos is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Stamkos is one of the best players of this generation. Like, you know, Stamkos is not Sidney Crosby, and he's not Alex Ovechkin, and he's not Connor McDavid and all that. But Stamkos is a first ballot Hall of Famer and a guy that's going to end up – with over 600 goals in the NHL in his career. So, like, I understand the excitement level there. Like, and I saw somebody tweet about this the other day. Even though it has not really worked to this point, like, Stamkos is still one of those guys at, you know, 15, 20 years from now where you'll look back and say, hey, Steven Stamkos played for this team. In the same way people do with Paul Kariya and the same way people do with Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
He's that caliber of player. Yeah. So, that makes it a little bit different. But now, in the short term, nobody cares about that. How much is he going to produce
right
next year?
Can he help you win?
Well, can he help you win? And with the lack of what they've got at center right now, how much better can it get from last year? Because I do think some of last year, not all, but some of last year was coaching. You got to make some adjustments there if you're Andrew Brunette. Some of last year, I'm sure, was an absolute whirlwind going from Tampa to Nashville and everything involved with that. Same thing with Marchessault from Vegas. You would think that there would naturally be in year two of that a little bit more comfort and a little bit more of an easy thing. You know, I think Andrew Brunette used the term yesterday that this is their team. Like, that, you know, it's not, I'm not worried about Tampa anymore. I'm not worried about Vegas. This is their team. So I think that's going to help to some degree. How much is going to be the question. And right. You have all that, and then you also have to tackle on the fact that now they're a year older. So what does that mean?
Exactly. Like Liam McLeod says, sounds like another lost season oscillating between bad and boring. Glad I'm only throwing money away on one bad franchise in town, so I guess that means you're throwing money away on the Titans. G from Murfreesboro, this is an old team. It's just going to regress. It's going to be a long year. And what we've seen of Roman last year, it's just going to be that or worse going forward. I mean, I think you guys – I'm not going to argue with any of that. And I am concerned about that.
Yep.
Like, you know, Yossi, his availability, start there. Okay. Sounds like it's all optimistic right now. But then also then level of play.
Right.
After the wear and tear. The guy's played – he's played a lot of high-level, high-impact hockey in this league.
Well, and he's 35. Like, you know, this should not be a – you know, the POTS diagnosis aside, because that came out of nowhere. And obviously there's been a concussion concern. So those two things, you kind of, they're their own thing. But even beyond those things, he's 35. Like, we should not expect Roman Josi at age 35 to be the same player he was at 29. Like, it just, for the most part, does not work that way in the NHL.
Right. They're in an era right now where there needs to be young guys moving up,
stepping up, yep,
take these spots. And someone asked earlier about, like, what, you know, we've heard about Milwaukee. Where are they? You know, Kemmel, is he going to be? Is Joachim Kemmel going to be a factor this year? Is he going
to
matter?
He needs to be.
Is Svechkov going to make a huge step? I mean, he's got an incredible opportunity. And I remember last year, we were talking about a guy, what an incredible opportunity. Not sure he's a number two center, but he's got an incredible opportunity. And that lasted not long at all before you're like, yeah, that's just not going to work.
It's not going to go. Lasted about a period for me. Joel from Woodbury.
I don't think it lasted that long.
Joel from Woodbury on the text line says, I don't get the panic either. They turn it around great. We don't suck. If not, we're firmly in the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes. It's a win-win in my book.
Everything is awesome.
I'm glad you feel that way. I would imagine Andrew Brunette does not feel that way.
Until you lose the lottery.
Yeah, until you lose the lottery and you're picking fifth again, which, again, you can get a good player. But
yeah, remember this year they picked two spots below where they finished.
Right.
So, or, yeah, above, two, below. You know what I'm saying.
I do. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Worse.
Yes, worse.
Worse.
Badder.
If they're bad again, what's it going to mean for Andrew Brunette? Because fair or unfair, he is going to be the first one that pays the price, right? It's
traditionally
speaking.
I mean, I'm willing to just keep an eye on Barry Trotz. Say, hey, man, do your thing. You don't have to do what everybody else does, but yeah, you would think so.
I mean, I guess behind the scenes of all of that, and you know, I'm reading the piece at the Tennessean about him this morning. But I mean, Bill Haslam has now taken control, so he is starting now, controlling owner of the Nashville Predators. He's moved into that spot. It was approved by the Board of Governors and all that stuff. So he's in. So what does that mean for – not that he hasn't been, I mean, directly involved with them the last couple of years, but what does that mean towards how he views it, the patience level, and where he thinks things are going? Because at the end of the day, I mean, isn't that what matters? Like we talk about with the Titans all the time, the only thing that really matters is what Amy's going to do. Well, I mean, Bill Haslam is now that role. For the Predators.
Absolutely. And shout out to Paul Skrbina. Good piece in the Tennessean on him. And some interesting stuff in there. And, yeah, I think this could signal that the Preds are going to be more like a traditional franchise moving forward. I don't know that. But when you have someone like him, and we know what has gone on with saving the franchise and all that stuff, I think when you now consolidate into Bill Haslam, I think maybe we'll see – yeah, I guess, frankly, just more change over a certain period of time.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
A whole lot more
thoughts to get to. A four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Memphis at First Horizon Park
tomorrow.
First pitch at 6 o'clock.
All that coming up.
Be caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a four-pack of tickets to the Sounds taking on the Redbirds at First Horizon Park tomorrow. A little bit of July 3rd action coming down tomorrow. So
nice.
Have fun out there at the Sounds game. 615-737-1025. A lot of thoughts still rolling in on the Predators. We'll get to some of those now on our phone line, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt asking, how could all of these accomplished and talented players come to Nashville and not do very well and it not be a coaching or culture issue? And here's what I would say to that. Number one, it may very well be partly a coaching issue. You know, I mean, look, when you have a season as bad as you did last year, I've said it, I stand by it, most organizations probably would have fired the coach. It just is what it is in the NHL. The Predators did not. The Predators traditionally have been a more patient organization, and specifically Barry Trotz with the way that he came up and the patience that was extended to him from David Poile. I always figured that would probably be the way he would operate as a general manager. So here we are on that front. It may become very obvious 10, 15 games into this year that maybe Andrew Brunette's not the right guy. We'll see. It may be that he's able to turn around. You know, the culture issue is interesting. We talked about that yesterday, Joe. Like, do the Predators have a problem with their approach or the way that they prioritize things or focusing too much on, like, the grit and the grind of it? Is that a problem with the Predators? I think that's up for debate and a matter of opinion. But I also think sometimes we get a little too narrow-minded and simplistic with these views. It's like, well, Stamkos was great in Tampa, and Marchessault was great in Vegas, and they came here and aren't good, so it's got to be a Predators problem. And I would say, well, maybe. That's probably part of it. I would also remind you that Steven Stamkos did not get the contract he was looking for from the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you cannot find very many people in the NHL, and in some ways, the history of the NHL. It's not a long list, is what I'm saying, of teams or of players that have meant more to their team than Steven Stamkos. Right. I mean, again, he's not Sidney Crosby. He's not Wayne Gretzky. He's not any of those guys. But he is one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. He is a captain from Tampa Bay and was their franchise icon. And he could not get the contract he was looking for from the Lightning. Jonathan Marchessault, you know, icon for Vegas. I guess you could go there. They've been around for less than a decade. So take it what you will for the icon part of it. He won a Stanley Cup and was the playoff MVP with Vegas. He is a lot of – there's a lot of attraction to him in that fan base with that franchise. And he could not get the contract that he was looking for from Vegas. So I think sometimes we just forget about that and say, well, it must be the Predators just – they come here and it's a coaching problem because those guys are so productive and now they're not. And some of it may just be that they're 34 and 35 years old, right? Like that's – there's a difference between 35-year-old Steven Stamkos – and 27-year-old Steven Stamkos. Those are two very different things, and I think you have to keep that in mind as part of the conversation.
So you're saying that Barry Trotz is the problem?
Well, look, maybe. I don't know. It's not been a good run, right? It's been a year now of – we talked about it yesterday. Think about the show we were having on this day a year ago.
Yeah.
This day a year ago, they had just signed all these guys, and Predators fans were all over the place excited about it. I know, like – ticket sales were going great. Mm-hmm. Everything was looking good. And think about where it is now. And, one of the things we talked about on the show a year ago today is somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong when it comes to Stamkos and Marchessault. And the early returns are Vegas and Tampa Bay was right. We'll see.
Yeah, we did spend a little bit of time. And, of course, this was also not too far. It was like a year removed from the Janot trade, but we were spending some time ripping
Tampa
too, right, for what they were doing, like Gensel and all this stuff. So that makes us professional second guessers, yeah. Because of course now we're sitting here. But when seriously with Trotz, like you look at is he going to be right? Well, like with coaching, right? He kind of hung on a little bit with John Hines, who that was pretty good last year at Minnesota, by the way. And he went to Brunette. Was he right making that move? Is he right sticking with him now? There's a lot of things that are still up in the air on Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
Of course. And look, someone texted today what Jared has been arguing, which is if you're not trading assets for and you're just going and signing veterans, then you still are – sticking with the plan of, the prospects and an overall long-term plan. And I half agree with that, but it's not the full picture. And, Barry has said himself, right? Like, I don't know. Like, he's trying to win now.
Yeah.
Again, like, the goalie contract flies in the face of all that stuff. But,
well, again, that's
another one. That's Is he right on that? That's a huge, huge question.
On the surface, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to remain competitive and also trying to stock up and build for the future at the same time.
Agree.
It's just very difficult to get those timelines to match up, and that's where they're at. And that's why I think the biggest problem with this team, and they've taken some, in my opinion, I guess minor steps to address that in free agency, but the biggest problem with the team in the construction of it is not really I don't really have a problem with the idea of trying to remain competitive and wait on some of your young guys, but I have less of a problem with that idea when you're trying to remain competitive with 27, 28, 29-year-olds and not 34, 35, 36-year-olds, right? Like, it's hard to get that timeline where Stamkos, Marchessault, Yossi, O'Reilly, those type of guys, or toward the end of their career. And then you've got Svechkov and Kemmel and Molendijk and all these guys at the very beginning.
It speaks like to a huge gap.
There's a huge gap.
And by the way, that's not – most of it's not on Trotz, right? And that's what
he inherited. Yeah, and that's what happens when you go – like you go years without having successful draft pick. And again, you know, some of that is you're going for it back in the day and it catches up with you at some point. I agree with those people who say that Trotz is not like all out going for it right now. He's not. Like, he's not giving up first-round picks. He's not trading Joakim Kimmel to go find somebody to help you out. So I understand that part of it. But it's still, I look at it, and it's just such a difficult needle to thread to get all of those timelines to merge together when you don't have that centerman who's 27 years old, or you don't have, you know, that next defenseman coming up that's Roman Josi-like that's 26, 27. Like, Molendijk, who knows? Molendijk may end up being that. But Molendijk's 20 years old right now. Yeah. Like it's going to take a while.
But see, that's also why I to me, that's why you do go for it. And I'm not saying recklessly, but that's why you do go for it, because you inherited, okay, what do I have? I've got a great player in Forsberg. I got a great player in Josi. I've got what I think is a great goalie in Juuse Saros. Well, as soon as the first offseason when you bring in O'Reilly, so to me then, like, okay, well, then you should actually go rather than, let's just be happy making the playoffs, right? That's a needle to thread too. And a lot of times what you can do, you can't do anything other than, oh, we can get a Stamkos because, you know, Tampa is not going to meet his demands. And so we got an opportunity.
Well, and the bottom line also is, and we've talked about this, I understand that they've not given up a ton of draft capital or prospects in this process here. But also, like, I agree with Adam Vingan when you say, like, you don't really sign Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, and to a lesser extent, Brady Shea to buy time.
Exactly.
Like, those guys, I can tell you, those guys certainly were not sold on the idea of buying time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Come be okay here for a while and while we have young kids come up. No, they want to win.
And look. I'm interested to see how it goes. This time last year, and people brought this up, and it's a fair point. This time last year, everybody was convinced that the Predators were going to be good, and the idea of them missing the playoffs, much less missing the playoffs to the degree in which they just did, was laughable to most people. Let's see how it plays out. Maybe they do find some tweaks in the way that they want to play, and they're just instantaneously better this year. And they don't get off to an 0-5 start, and they don't feel all this pressure. And Brunette was talking about that yesterday, how they got a chip on their shoulder. We'll see how all that goes. Maybe all that's better, and they are a playoff team. But I still look at their roster right now, particularly down the middle, and I say it's hard to imagine them doing much damage with that group that they've got down the middle. And to think about that in the aftermath of signing Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea is disappointing if you're a Predators fan.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be optimistic. You do have to acknowledge that there are in all sports, you know, sometimes you start out hot and you get a good feeling, and it's amazing how that can change a season, how that can, you know, dictate a season. There are a lot of guys I still think that can play a lot better than they did last year. Can they collectively play better?
But to your point, you know what all that sounds like? Hope.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit flimsy.
Yeah.
At that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Trotz with some comments on Brady Martin that we will finally get to coming up next. I will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We will have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette on the show tomorrow at 8:15, so looking forward to that conversation with him. We talked about the center depth for the Predators a lot today. They did just draft a center at Brady Martin at number 5 overall. He's at development camp this week. Watched him out there. So far this week, on Monday, looked really good. It's practice, so I'm not going to sit here and overblow things that happen at a development camp practice in June and July. So he looks good. That's where I'll leave it at right now. We'll see what that means for the NHL part of this moving forward. But I did ask Barry Trotz yesterday about Brady Martin, the idea of him making the team as an 18-year-old, and how much of an open mind Trotz has for that. Here's what Barry Trotz said yesterday.
This young man, nothing would surprise me. This guy is he's got tons of confidence. I think he's a guy that pulls you into the fight. Someone was asking me, who do you remind me of? Sometimes I show my age, but he's got the Bobby Clark-ish type of mentality. He's got more skill than you thought. He will hurt you. He will pull guys into the fight. All those things that are that make your team better when it matters. And he steps up when it matters. So, he had a chance at training camp to step up and it was funny. He came in and he saw, Dwight McCarron walk by, and he's like, I got to go against him. Yes, you do. And he goes, no problem. So I think you got to be excited. I think our fan base, you're going to love this kid. I know you are. I bet my life on it.
So Barry Trotz betting his life on the fan base loving Brady Martin. Look, everything I know about the kid after talking with him the other day, I have no doubt about that. Like, I think he's going to be a good player, and personality-wise and all that, the way he plays, I think Predators fans will love him. Now the question is going to be exactly how much, how good is he? We're going to find out. But it does not sound to me, I don't think it's just lip service. Like, I think Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette are going to give Brady Martin a legitimate opportunity to make the team. I think sometimes coaches and general managers say that because, what else are they going to say? They're going to tell somebody, hey, by the way, coming into camp, you have no shot to make the team. But deep down, they know they're probably not going to make it, and there's probably not a spot for them. I would still, if I had to assign a percentage to it, Joe, I would say that the more likely result is he doesn't make the team and he's going back to junior this year. But I think there will be a look given to Brady Martin in training camp, and we'll see what he can do with it and if he's ready.
Yeah, Adam from Portland, I'm not going to yell at you this time, Adam. He did texted a little bit ago saying, like, what's the concern with him playing, just playing with the Preds, that he's going to get hurt? And, no, the answer is I you think about it like in different sports. Hockey and baseball to me are the two sports where here and there – you'll have someone like, oh, you're ready, or a late call up as a first year in the pros in baseball or whatever, and sometimes in hockey. For the most part, like, you have the minor leagues for a reason, and there needs to be a lot of development. Obviously, basketball, football, you plug a guy in from college or overseas, and boom, they're ready to go in the draft. I know when you go back and forth between those sports, sometimes it can get probably confusing, but it doesn't. It seems like asking a lot, especially, again, it's like, okay, so you have him up, you like him a lot, but are you ready for him to play the role that you've drafted him to play for a long time? And if you put him in that role too early, and you've got – look, Barry Trotz is basically telling people he's going to be a captain someday, right?
Yeah.
He loves him. But, like, if you put him in that role too early, or just bring him up too early, are you worried about that causing – harm or damage? It happens all the time in baseball too, like with pitchers, right? It's like, or position players, like, you ruin them. You can't bring the kid up too early. Is that a concern? Barry Trotz certainly talks about overcooking all the time.
Yeah, physically, he may not be ready to play. And I'm not necessarily talking about a physicality standpoint of it, but from a skill set standpoint, there may need to be some more development time and some time to work on the skill part of it, where he's just not ready to play in the NHL. Like, if I'm a Predators fan.
It's the highest level of hockey in the world.
Yeah. Like, if I'm a Predators fan, obviously the idea of him playing for you in the fall is exciting. I think a lot of Predators fans want to see it. I think a lot of Predators fans look at the roster right now, particularly at center, and are like, good Lord, give me something to watch at center ice. So I understand that. But also, if I'm a Predators fan, I want Brady Martin to take whatever path makes the most sense for him to be a franchise player for me one day. That is what I want. And if that's coming up in the NHL right now, great. If that's spending another 2 years in junior, great, whatever. Knock yourself out. Whatever the path is that makes the most sense, that's going to lead to him developing into what you've drafted him to be, and that is a franchise-changing type of player, that's what I want if I'm a Predators fan.
And by the way, we were just talking yesterday a lot about the organization, the whole thing, the culture, like what's wrong? Like why aren't guys developing? Why are some players going elsewhere and doing a lot better? When they come here, they don't do all that stuff. I will say that like the forward history with this franchise, Brady Martin better work out, man. Like it's almost to me, I mean, I know it's ridiculous. That's the last straw. But like seriously, if Brady Martin does end up being a good pick, at least a good pick, at least like you feel good about him as your number two centerman for 10 years, what else can you say about their inability to identify forwards?
Totally. No, I totally agree. And, you know, you can pick your spots in Predators history where there have been some good stories, mainly with later draft picks that have turned into some good players. They need to draft and develop a high-level player. That's what Brady Martin needs to end up
down the middle in
particular. Down the middle in particular, which, frankly, they've never done. You know, Legwan was okay down the middle, but that's not what I'm talking about.
It's a long time.
Yeah, he played here for a long time, but I'm not talking about Brady Martin turning into David Legwan.
And the Preds have been here a long time. It's about time, right?
That's going to do it for us today. Chase and Big Joe's coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.